Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
Awesome. Well, if you are at home, which you are, or you're in your car, I want you to grab your phone, your Bible, and a notebook. It's important for us to remember what God is saying to us in vital times of our lives. And I hope you have been tracking with the book of Philippians that we have been going through. Matt has been taking us through almost line by line. And there is so much good in here. Philippians is not Corinthians. Like, we are talking about a church that needs some bumps back into health, but they are not an unhealthy, unbelieving church. They just need a few oops, reminding who they are. And I just want to say, as the Lakemount Church, you guys are a healthy body of believers, and we love you guys. And sometimes when we're preaching, we're just doing a few corrections. That's what pastoring is. Just come back over here. Stay in line with the Word of God. Here's where we're going. It's vision casting and then keeping everybody alongside with you. So just want to say that while we've been going through this series, make sure you're taking notes, because God is building something in us. And I am prophesying to you right now, Jesus is building his church. And if you've said yes to him, he's building you. He's literally building you. There's a part of you that is getting dug up. There's parts of you that are getting planted. There's parts of you that are getting destroyed. And then there's parts of you that there's just seeds germinating. It's like new life is being planted. But there is a cultivation in you of the purity of the gospel. And I'm just declaring that. I literally am prophesying over your spirit. There's a cultivation of the pure gospel of Jesus Christ being implanted into this house through this teaching. And I am so excited, because it's not because we're unhealthy. It's because I'm building this beautiful bride, and I want to show you how to get that spot out of your dress. I want to show you how to get that wrinkle out. And then I'm going to send revival. Because everybody's going to be looking at you. Everybody knows when the bride comes in, she's been primped and proper for like an hour. Everybody's stuck one bobby pin. Don't move. Got an eyelash. Make sure you don't have any lipstick on your teeth. There is something about how she looks that has been taken care of. And that's what Jesus is doing in this season. He is taking care of how we look, because everyone out there, the lost, the people that are searching, the people that are truly, really hungry for who they are, they're about to look right here, and we're going to be ready. Amen? Amen. All right. So the book of Philippians has been helpful for navigating challenges together as a spiritual family. Amen? All right. So through the preaching and teaching of God's word, we're growing in our hearts for discipleship. We are receiving tools to build on the rock, and we're gaining biblical perspectives through adversity, okay? If we go through adversity and we look at ourselves, that's called self-sufficiency. And you don't want to sit there as a believer. Yeah, you're strong enough. Yeah, you're great enough. But that's not what Jesus died for. He died so that you could lean in and become more like him. And actually, he loves your brokenness. He loves it, because he gets to step in there and get glory. So in your adversity, lean on him, not yourself. Okay? I'm really glad we have a clock up there, because I think I could talk to you guys forever. All right. So today we're going to stay in chapter 2. In Philippians, and we're going to go with the next verses, Philippians 2, 19 to 24. Just so we can understand how we genuinely grow in faith and how to be a local church that Jesus would be proud of. Amen. Okay, with the interns, I'm always like, that's a t-shirt, write it down. That's a t-shirt. Write this down. I'm part of a church, a local church, that Jesus would be proud of. Okay? Let's be that local church. All right. Father, I just thank you for who you are. Father, I thank you for your powerful word. I thank you that you said in your word that your word is who you are. You're the Word and your life and your presence and your wisdom and your revelation sit in these words to us, God. They're inspired by your Holy Spirit. So I thank you that you are teaching us, that you're leading us, and that you're guiding us as a house. Father, I thank you that in this season, your hand of protection has been on us and is remaining on us. I thank you that you are building living stones that bring glory to your name. Father, I thank you that this body of Christ is leaning in this season, that you would receive glory, that they would be ready, that they would be made perfect in your image and in your sight. And Father, I thank you for what's in your heart for the church in Canada. Father, I thank you that your heart is actually burning with passion to meet her and to perfect her and to beautify her. So Father, in this season, we just say as your body, Father, get us ready. Just get us ready, Father. Correct us and teach us how to look like you in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that through my teaching, Father, that you would come. Father, I pray that my words would be less and your words would be more. Father, I pray that where I am not strong, Father, that you would be stronger, that you would be greater, and that your voice would be heard today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. So Philippians 2, verses 19 to 24. All right. It says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show you genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. I am confident in the Lord that I myself, that I myself will come soon. Tongue twister. I realize now why people put water here. It gets dry all of a sudden. All right. So this scripture, you can read it and you may be like, why is that in the Bible? Okay, good question. Always ask yourself that. Why is this in the Bible? Why was this inspired? Why was this important to leave here? What is the Holy Spirit trying to say to me? Okay, anytime you read the word, no matter what it is, ask that question. Why is this here? What am I gaining from it? Okay. So when you're reading verse 19, this portion is personal. It's from Paul to the church, but it's a personal reflection about Timothy. Okay. Personal comments can have anointed instruction for our faith. Okay. So Paul's comments in verse 19 describe the apostle's hopes and desires to send a spiritual son, Timothy, to check on the spiritual health of his beloved congregation. Okay, why is that important? Because you need to know the Church of Philippians, again, was a pretty healthy church. He really liked them, and he was excited to see them. So he is then saying, the rest will fill in my hopes and my desires as your apostolic father. Here they come. Okay, so verse 19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may also be cheered when I receive news about you. Not only does Paul want to send Timothy to minister to the people, but he's going to be cheered when he receives the news about it. Okay, Paul referring to the Philippians as his favorite people. Okay, again, we want to be God's favorite people, right? When he's writing about the church in Canada, man, I love that Lake Mount Worship Center. Okay, wouldn't it be awesome if your pastor can write, my favorite people were at Lake Mount Worship Center? You are. You're a favorite people. Okay. But Paul's writing from a Roman prison, and he's not focusing on himself here in this letter. He's focusing on the people under his care. Okay, so apostolic leadership is always focused on the people. Paul is talking to the people about the people, about his care for them. So spiritual family is a real thing. Paul's not with them, but he's with them, right? Even though we're not here, we're here, right? Spiritual family is past being inside a building. It is being together. It's caring for one another. It's under that apostolic leadership of being spiritual family. Okay, verse 19 begins with, I hope in the Lord. Why is that important? Other versions say, I trust in the Lord. Okay, how many times have you had to check yourself in this season for that comment? How many times has that been a challenge for you? I'll say, as somebody who loves people and being close to people and being around people, this has been a challenge. Okay, I trust you, Lord. I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you, Lord. This has been a reminder to me. This is a reminder to the body of Christ. I hope in the Lord. Okay, Paul's reorienting to the timing of heaven. Okay, when we get distracted by what's going on in the news, because it never stops. Have you noticed? They keep running that lower third and they don't go to bed, but we do. And then the news is still going. Okay, we need to make sure we're not on their time clock. Their urgency, their fears, their concerns, their worries. That's news. That's information. What's true is that we serve a God who's in control of timing, events, plans, purposes, dreams, and desires. That's the God we serve. Amen? Amen. Okay, so Paul is saying, come in back into alignment with me. This is where I am. I'm sitting in a Roman prison, but I hope in the Lord. I've been through enough that I understand that I'm hoping in the Lord. Okay, have you been through enough in your life? Have you gone through some stuff where on the other side you're like, I wish I would have been a little more at peace because I didn't realize God was working it all out for my good, even though his word said he would. If I would have just relaxed into his timing and his plans and his purposes, I might have stayed in hope. I might have not crossed over into fear. Okay? It's really important that we grasp this. It's the opening line, but it speaks to us. The timing of heaven is different than our schedule. And we need to receive his peace in his timing. Okay? As the Church of Christ, our priorities and plans are not the same timelines as everyone else's. And you need to get comfortable with that. Amen. Some things that take us 5 minutes to do in the kingdom, it could take 5 years for us to do it. But we're in his timing, we're in his plans, and we're in his purposes. Okay? So this verse is a foundation for building confident hope in us. He's saying, I'm making plans and I'm trusting God. That's what Paul's saying. I'm making plans and I'm trusting God. Okay, another t-shirt. I'm making plans. I'm trusting God. Right? Amen. All right. Sometimes we make plans and then when they fall through, we get angry or disappointed with God. Okay, I already touched on this, but that is called self-sufficiency or sometimes even self-righteousness, if you want to put another name on it. And we all struggle with this if we'll be honest. God, I could have done that better because I'm hurting now. Or I'm totally lost in worry and fear. And if I were you, I would have fill in the blank. We have to be careful that we don't get into self-righteousness. Our righteousness is filthy rags. When we're made right in his image and went right before him, we're actually in his timing. We're in his purposes. And all of our... Oh, good thing I numbered them, you guys. All of our plans and all of the things that we think are failures, he's using them in his perfect plan. Okay? Paul subjected his plans to the sovereignty of the Almighty God. Okay, I want to encourage you today to do the same. And maybe in your notes just right now, what are my plans that need to come under the sovereignty of God? What am I planning on that if I couldn't fulfill it, I would be disappointed? And if there are lots of eyes in your heart, then we need to move into, Father, I'm making plans with you. We're making plans together. What is in your heart for me? What is your timing on this dream? Okay? Godly hope is anchored to trust. Godly hope, not wishful thinking. Matt taught on this at the beginning. Not wishful thinking. Godly hope is anchored to trust. Okay? He says later in verse 19 that I may be cheered when I receive news about you. All right? Again, Paul's not speaking to a local church that's lost their way and full of problems. He's speaking to a local church that's healthy, spiritually generous, and moving ahead in a time of opposition and challenge. Are we there? Check. Paul's writing to a similar-hearted church. Okay, the Apostle Paul is looking forward to a firsthand report from his spiritual son because he had confidence in this church that they were doing good. They were like shining stars, like we heard last week. Shining stars, shining bright like stars in the universe. Okay, have you been challenged by that? They're not grumbling and complaining. I did this a lot this week. Okay, checking yourself. Am I actually just grumbling and complaining about things that are out of my control and just swirling around me? Because if I'm talking about actuals, the things that God has me affecting and doing, I don't have things to grumble and complain about. I'm on assignment. Okay, so we're shining bright like stars in the universe. Another t-shirt, just saying. Okay, our prayer for you in this local church is that you would let your roots go down deep into this family. Let them go deep. Okay, spiritual family is a thing. So we need to have roots and we need to let them deep, go deep. Our prayer is that you'd be planted and flourishing in the house of the Lord. Okay, do you know you can be planted, but you can be dying? Okay, we just did some landscaping around the church Friday and Saturday, and we had to remove some dead trees, which the boys really, really enjoyed doing. And got to say, shout out to the interns. You killed it. It looks beautiful. But we have trees out here that were planted, and they're not flourishing. They're planted. They're not flourishing. Okay, how come? Not just the environment, it's the soil. Okay, so again, Paul's writing to a healthy local church. Healthy church, good soil. Get rooted, get planted, and grow. Okay, so in Psalm 92, verses 12 to 15, just going to read this over you. It says, the righteous flourish like the palm tree, and they grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord, and they flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. Okay, you'll notice that there's palm trees and there's cedars. So it's not just one thing. There's a couple of things that are planted, okay? So the business of making this place healthy is not just our job as your pastors. It's our job collectively, okay? There's a bunch of stuff planted in the soil, but we all get to choose the health of this soil, okay? A healthy local church is not the responsibility of just the pastor. It is our shared responsibility as individual believers who join together in unity and in faith, okay? It can't be healthy if we're deciding, no, I want healthy soil. No, I'd like to pour acid in it. There's got to be unity. Like, we're all just choosing healthy soil, right? Amen? Good. Because that's an intention of the heart. Okay? We want unity and faith to be in the soil. So Jesus is building his church, and he calls us as his followers to follow chosen leaders, watching over the collective sheep, the collective family, building this spiritual family as a healthy place for you to thrive and grow. But it's our choice to follow. Amen? Amen. Okay, so following well means we're receiving the word. Okay, week after week, Matt is teaching and leading and hearing the Holy Spirit and guiding and instructing and helping the word come alive. But he's hearing from the Holy Spirit of build this into your people, build this into that house. How come? Not so we can just be hearers, but doers. Don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. This needs to be where we receive from, but following means I heard it. Now I'm going to do it. Okay? Following well also means letting our lives be discipled by Jesus through correction and encouragement. A balance. Okay? A healthy local church has a balance of correction and encouragement. If all you ever receive is encouragement, you don't know your blind spots. If all you ever receive is correction, you don't know how great you are. Okay, there needs to be a balance in a healthy church. And I'm praying you found that here. Amen. If you haven't, ask for it. Could you encourage me and then tell me one thing to work on is a powerful statement. A lot of adults haven't figured it out yet, but you got it now. All right, so Matt has been digging into and throughout the book of Philippians that there's our part and there's God's part. Our part, God's part. So following is our part. God's preparing a way through the word, through leadership. What's your part? Okay, being a part of a healthy local church requires your participation as a church family. Here's a good question to write down. What am I co-laboring with the Holy Spirit on? I don't have wrists at work, you guys. Pray for me. Okay, so what is God's part? What is my part? That's called co-laboring. I realize that God has made me, called me, given me gifts, anointing, and dreams. What's my part in fulfilling that? He's spoken to me through his word, which is full of truth, and it's not rules. They're guidelines for living a godly life. This is his part. What's my part? How do I participate and co-labor with the Holy Spirit? Okay, another question. What actions in the heart and mind are you letting him have purposeful access to? Purposeful. Okay, go back to self-sufficiency or self-righteousness. What are you letting him touch? What are you allowing him to grow in you? Okay, healthy things get pruned, healthy things get shaped, healthy things get nutrients added to the soil. Healthy things receive correction and encouragement, okay? So what actions in your heart and mind are you letting him have purposeful access to? Faith has a substance. This is one thing that I have learned in the past 10 years that I thought I knew what faith was, but what he has actually poured into me is a substance. It's something that is tangible to me because of my walk with him, because of my journey with him, because of my history with him. It has a substance to me. It has a feel. I know he's building my faith. It's not just this concept. It's not just beliefs. it's a thing that we're building. It's a substance. It has things in it that we've gone through. Okay. What substance is your faith materializing? It's important that our words and our actions say unity, health, and growth to this local church family. As a spiritual family, okay? Think about people from this family. It's important that our words and our actions say unity, health, and growth to this local church. Committed to that, that my words would say it to you. I'm in unity. I'm not grumbling and complaining. Okay, I'm growing, and here's how you can know. Okay, and I'm healthy. I actually went for a Rafa. I dug into some of my stuff. In my brokenness, I leaned into the Lord, and I have a testimony about it. There's growth. There's movement in your faith and in this local church family. Okay, we express our health to this body of believers by, let's write these down, because this is good for us to remember, especially in this season. Encouraging people. This is a spiritual gift. Encouraging people. There are some people that have this, like, they wake up encouraging people. And I'm like, hey, not till noon. Like, I'm not awake yet. I can't receive. I can't hear. It's just bouncing off, and all I hear is wah, wah, wah. Just kidding. But there are some people that wake up and they literally are like, did you know you're fantastic? Oh my goodness. My dad's like this. Okay. I grew up thinking I was amazing. Literally, he would like praise me about everything. I thought that I was perfect. And then I grew up and I was like, Dad, you lied to me. People told me I was wrong. And it was weird, okay? But encouraging people are a gift. There are times that you need encouragement. And biblically speaking, if it's a spiritual gift, encouragement is not just nice thoughts about you. It's spiritual. So let it land. Receive it and give it, okay? Discipling people. This is another way we express health in the body of Christ. We need to be on assignment. The people that God has placed in this body or are not yet in this body, they need discipling. Okay? This is a lot to learn if you're new to Jesus. Okay? When you're new to Jesus, you have a love encounter with him. You've agreed and you believe. But like Matt taught, I am saved. I am being saved. Right in the middle there is where we get to help each other. What does that look like? How do I do that? What's Jesus saying? What does this mean? I mean, when you read the Old Testament, you're like, whoo, wow. These are lots of big words. Walk with somebody. What does the cross really mean for me? Okay, it's not just a day that Jesus died and then he rose again 3 days later. There is a whole lot that he provided for us in his death and resurrection. But understanding that helps you be a full Christian. But if we don't give that away to the next baby Christian or the person that isn't understanding, then our faith kind of levels off. We just read the word with not the anticipation of giving it away. Okay? So discipling people is really important. Important. Imported. We're importing disciples now. Just so you know. All right. Supporting leaders in prayer and in speech. Crickets. Yep. We have an amazing church family that is very supportive, and we feel your prayers, and we will ask for more humbly. Okay. Supporting in speech and in prayer. I could go off, but I will go to the next point. I will say, if you wouldn't say something about leaders that you're serving with when they're standing there, don't say it. just don't say it. It's not edifying the body, and it doesn't bring unity, which we said before was a goal, right? That's good. All right. Leading others to faith in Jesus. This is important for the health of a body of believers because your faith has seeds in it. And seeds need to be planted to grow. So take those faith seeds and plant them in your neighbor. Plant them in somebody that needs to know about Jesus. I said at the beginning, this region is hungry. This nation is hungry. We've look around and they're into things that are spiritual. They're just not godly. They're not Jesus focused. They're not the truth, and they're not the gospel, and they're not bringing freedom to them. They're bringing bondage, but it's spiritually playing in the spiritual connection field. Okay. We get to bring them truth. We get to bring them the full package of what Jesus did on the cross, and that they could be completely free and loved and made whole and go from a sinner to a saint and go from hell to heaven. We get to deliver that as we bring faith to those around us. Okay. Partnering in the vision of what Jesus is building here. Okay. In the book of Revelation, Jesus had an assignment for local churches. This local church has an assignment. So we want to pray and lean in as a body and be on assignment together. We want to be in unity to that, and then to build together. Okay. One of the best ways to prevent distraction from overtaking your thinking and feeling is to find someone who needs Jesus and help them grow. Okay. If you find somebody who needs Jesus, help them grow. There's less time on your Facebook that's needed if you're going to be on assignment. Okay. We have lots of wandering thoughts right now, captivating them and bringing them in to make them subject to Jesus, make disciples. We're all called to that. We're all called. Go into all the world and make disciples. Okay. So then in verse 19, we're still here. Paul lets the church know in this letter that he's sending Timothy. And in verse 20, he says, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Paul is speaking of the confidence in Timothy as his best. Okay. In 1 Timothy 1:2, Paul refers to Timothy as my true son in the faith. Not my quote unquote son, my true son, my true son. That is tried, tested, and true relationship, real, true family because of a spiritual bond and mentoring and for serving together. They were on assignment together in the kingdom. They became family. Okay, being on assignment together as a family creates family. And continues to provide an atmosphere for people to join in this family. Okay. One of the greatest privileges we have been given as your pastors is that of walking together and helping generations grow and mature. The privilege of building disciples who build disciples who build disciples so that each generation is equipped in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 145, verses 3-6, it says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of your power, of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. This is the pipeline of the kingdom. Okay. From generation to generation, being a people who declare the praises of God and mentor the next generation like Paul and Timothy. I'm going to declare the praises of God and I'm going to mentor someone like a Paul to a Timothy, becoming spiritual family, not just a task getting done, but I see you, I'm with you. We're serving the kingdom of God. There's a pipeline to it, okay? The reason we pursue God and spiritual growth in our own lives is that so we can become someone who builds others in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our ministry internship here is a place of intentional growth that is character-based discipleship. We teach our interns more than just biblical standards, which is good, but we actually dig into the why of our faith. Okay, if we lack the understanding of why, we only have information. But when we have understanding, we can build there. Okay, if we have knowledge combined with tools and passion, we can build a life that's useful to God for his eternal purposes. Again, we have his purposes mixed with his timing. Okay, we can take it all, take the why and the knowledge and the passion and put it in the same pot and then watch something grow and be made beautiful in there. Okay, each of us must ask the Holy Spirit how we can grow to become a passionate follower and a reproducer at every age and stage of our walk with him. Every age and every stage. Okay, we're never finished being on assignment. We don't just serve for like 5 years and then, oh, here comes a new crew, they can do it. We're always on assignment. We're in the kingdom. He's got things for us to do here, so we do them well. And I know you do, because I've seen you do them. Just encouraging you. All right? Goes on in verse 21 of Philippians 2 and says, "For everyone looks out for their own interests and not those of Jesus Christ." Paul is saying of Timothy that he's looking out for the welfare of others is actually the interests of Jesus Christ. It's actually the interest of Jesus Christ. What did he come to do? To seek and save the lost. When he said that you could do greater things, I wonder if it includes seeking and saving the lost. It's the interest of Jesus Christ on you. You're on assignment. Okay? Paul says to Timothy, you're looking out for the welfare of others. Jesus wants to make you others-focused. It's not so that we don't care about ourselves, it's that we take on his heart. Okay, Timothy distinguished himself out of the many people Paul mentored by being genuinely concerned about the spiritual health of the local church. Did you know you can stand out by being concerned about the local church, about the genuine health for the local church? You can stand out. Okay, this apostolic priority for leaders who grow in their love for the church is so important for us to grasp. We can't give away what we don't own. And you can't have authority for what you won't love. I can't give you $1 million because I don't have it. I wish I did, just so that I could give it to you. But I can't give away what I won't own. Okay, when we understand this, okay, go back to the why and the passion and the putting it all in the pot. When I can own this, I can give it away. My faith having a substance. Okay, remember when Jesus was restoring Peter after his denial and Jesus kept saying to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" 3 times he asked Peter, and each time Peter said, "Lord, yes, I love you." Jesus followed with, "Feed my sheep, take care of my lambs, and feed my sheep." Jesus measures our love for him and our commitment and care to his church. Because you'll also remember that Peter was the one he said, "I'm going to build my church." Here's his assignment. Take care. Feed them. Take care. Watch over them. You ever watched or read about sheep? They're sweet. but they go astray. And you don't lose patience with them. You think they're cute, and you help them, and you restore them, and you keep them in the right path because you love them. And then he can build something with that. Okay? Jesus, help us hear you in this. Help us hear you as we pursue our desire for you and for truth and for your ways, not for our credit, not so we can say there's the crew that I led to the Lord. Those 12, those are mine. That's not how we serve the kingdom. We're like, have you seen those 12 grow? Man, I got to talk to one of those guys. What a story. And caring for them behind the scenes, sending them encouraging words, but actually building something that is us, not I, it's us. We're building a family. Okay? We get to serve the body of Christ as he did. And we are to serve it that way. We get to, and we're supposed to. In Matthew 20, 28, it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, we're called to serve. We are called to serve the local church. It's been said, if you're too big to serve, you are too small to lead. Why is that? Because if you're too big to serve, you've missed the point. It's about being with the people and growing people. Okay, if I'm too big to actually be with what matters, because I'm just up here, then you're too small. You've made it too small for you to lead. There's no one can follow that. Okay, so we want to make sure that our hearts are focused on his intention towards his body. Okay, he came to serve. The guy that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the ruler of the entire planet, all of creation is hidden in him, and he came to serve. He came to serve. We just have to let that sit in our hearts when we're like, oh, I'm too busy to have any outlet in the local church. What? He came to serve. He came to serve. So are we. Okay? When we are planted and healthy and flourishing part of the body, we will produce fruit. Okay? Fruit grows and reproduces by taking what is healthy around it and carrying seeds of more health within it. Okay, if you look at a fruit tree, there's a lot of process going on in a fruit tree. So what God has given you and what God has done in you is not just for you. Okay, fruit trees don't make fruit for themselves. They make them for us. And then the seeds are for another tree. A whole other tree. Yep. All right, so let's be able to thank God for work in our lives that he's done. But that work carries a seed. That work carries the seed of reproduction in somebody else's growth. Have you ever noticed that God will place people around you that need what's on your life? It just kind of is like they, hey, have you ever been through this? Yes. And you start discipling somebody and encouraging them and bringing them through. Okay, God's work in your life can immediately feed a hungry one, and it can also be a seed for the next, okay? It can grow, and it can expand. So here's a little simple maturity health check. Here's a little spiritual maturity health check, and I want you to write these down. As you can tell, I'm big into writing things down. I think that because I learn by writing, I need an outlet for my hand, but I also learn by going back, and it encourages me in the Lord for, oh, look where we've been. Okay? So, spiritual maturity health check. Who are you leading is a good question. Then another one. Do you have someone around you that you pray for, that you share with, that you disciple and encourage? If we're a spiritual family, if family was all you do is come in and get and go, that's not family. Family is a mishmash of giving and receiving and learning and growing and bugging each other, actually, and growing from that. There's an expansion of who we are by how people rub us and kind of maybe rub us the wrong way or walk with us and stay in step with us. There is a growth in my life from people that I have walked with that are very different than me that I'm so thankful I walked with them. I'm so thankful because I've learned so much from them. And I hope they've learned from my life as well. But that giving and receiving is actually spiritual family. You need to come, but you need to give of yourself to someone around you. Okay? Healthy things grow and healthy things reproduce. That's the way of the kingdom. So our goal is to be fruitful and ready to serve. There's no age limit to serving. We discussed this before. Children in the house of God love to serve. They just like to know what they're supposed to do. Okay, my favorite thing is seeing kids that are super comfortable in Lake Mount. I love it. I love that they feel at home at daddy's house. You be super comfy here. You know you're welcome. You know this is a place where you're safe and that you're growing. But it's so good to direct them in the family, just like you would at home. How about you grab those little dishes that are safe for you to unload the dishwasher and you help me? So that at home doesn't become a you're served. No, you're helping serve. You're a vital part to this family. Okay? No age limit to serving in the house of God. It's equally important that we grow and adapt and learn as we mature in age and stage. Okay, when we're no longer taking out the Tupperware from the dishwasher, but we are digging holes in the backyard to plant trees, like we're growing and how we serve is different. It's changed and it's ever increasing. Okay, Philippians 2 goes on in verse 22 and says, "But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel." So Paul's saying here, Timothy proved himself in serving. Not on the platform. Not in his 30,000 member church. Timothy proved himself in serving by coming alongside Paul, by catching his heart, by serving well, by being his son. Okay, serving is where we get cultivated. All right, anointing and gifts are not where we get proven. It's easy to attract with anointing and gifts, but the apostolic priority of serving the local church was the ultimate proving ground for ministry. Jesus said, if you want to be great, you'll be the servant of all. Okay, this is an upside down kingdom, you guys. If you want to be great, you'll go low. If you want to be awesome, start serving. Okay, Timothy got it, and he became humble and teachable, and he walked with Paul. Okay, when we are trying to prove what we know, we miss out on what we don't. Okay, I said this, if you're walking with somebody that's completely different than you, lean into, what is it that I don't know that God would put me with somebody like this? Because they are a gift to you in that moment. You don't know everything. You're not their personality. You don't see the world the way they do. So take it all in, learn and grow. Okay? Paul honored Timothy for being one who knew his place and who served in the posture of a student and a son. Okay? Matt often says premature promotion is the first enemy of your destiny. Okay, I'm going to say that again because it's good. premature promotion is the first enemy of your destiny. When we look to have more opportunity, more credit, more praise, we miss out on the treasure of hiddenness. We miss out on the treasure of being great in the kingdom. If you want to be great, serve. Okay? Humility and serving opens up more than ambition and striving ever will. Okay? Faithfulness is like the currency in the kingdom. Okay? All of these things that we've talked about, being hopeful and growing and being a spiritual family, cultivating our hearts before Him, asking good questions of what's going on in us. How is my faith being reproduced? How is my serving look to you, Jesus? Am I serving this local church? Am I serving Lake Mount well? Am I planted well? Am I flourishing? Okay, all of this happens in a culture of family. Okay, we grow and we find our place. We find leaders we can follow and followers we can lead. That's a continual loop. Okay? We find a place to serve and people we can do life with as a spiritual family growing from one generation to the next. Until you breathe your last, you are a vital part of this family. If you were just born, you're a vital part of this family, even though you don't understand my words, but you're a vital part to this family because we need each other. We need every stage. We need every age. We need the mature and we need the immature. I hope you're hearing me. You all matter in this spiritual family. Okay? And I don't know about you, but I want to be someone that it's said of me like Timothy, she puts herself ahead of others. And she loves the local church like Jesus does. I want that to be said of me. I want that to be said of you. We want to lead so that you can have that said of you. That you would know it now and you would hear it in eternity. So if we make this our goal individually, God will continue to build this family collectively as a safe place to flourish and reproduce. Again, what God is building is incredible. He is building a beautiful bride. He loves this church. We love you. And God is building you. You are not finished. God is pouring dreams into you in this season.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.